Om Shri Sai Ram, offering my loving salutations at the Divine Lotus Feet of Swami. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to express myself and to reach out to the tens and thousands of sisters and brothers of the Sai world. Sai Ram to one and all. When we speak of Swami and our beautiful time with Swami and all the experiences we have with Swami, and as I look back at my own life and all the beautiful moments that I spent before I came to Puttaparthi, when I was in Puttaparthi, and now, roughly I can say that experiences with Swami could probably be bracketed into three categories. Experiences about Swami, experiences with Swami, and the experience of Swami. Around 1997, I got actively involved in the Satya Sai Seva organization, at that time Noida, which was under the Uttar Pradesh Satya Sai organization. And I still remember I used to spend a major part of the day outside of my office hours working for the organization, spending lots of hours every day. I was a very active member of the youth wing of that organization, and it was a wonderful time. I had seen Swami only once or twice in my life, and everything I knew about Swami at that time was from books, from other devotees, and from my own concepts and imaginations of what it would be like to see Swami. So that phase of my life was all about experiences about Swami gathered from, one might say, third-party sources. I remember everything changed in 1999. In 1999, Swami visited Delhi. And I was a Sevadal. And Swami was supposed to give darshan in three places. One was the Jawaharlal Nehru Stadium, which had a capacity of some 60-odd thousand capacity. Then Swami was supposed to give darshans in a place called Rai School, and also darshans in Rai House, which was at that time the house of Mr. Kulwant Rai, in whose residence Swami decided to stay during 1999 Delhi visit. And all of us were allotted duties, and my duty was allotted in the Jawaharlal Nehru Stadium. You know how it works in the organizations, and every samiti was given a quota. Like Noida, you know, this many Sevadals in Nehru Stadium, this many in Rai House, this many in Rai School, like that. And it was decided at that time, I still distinctly remember, it's been now what, 21 years. It was decided that only the alumnus of Swami's universities and only Swami's ex-students would be given duty in the Rai House. The reason being, in Rai House is a very small place compared to the other venues, and there things will happen in physical proximity of Swami. And it was decided that only former students of Swami would know how to be around Swami physically. Because of their own experience of being around him, they would know how to be around Swami, how to talk around him, how to walk around him, and how to be around him. So it was decided that only ex-students of Swami will be given Sevadal duty in the Rai House. And so it was. And there were two students who were selected from the Noida organization to be in the Rai House. An evening before Swami was to arrive, one of those students, two students, broke his leg. And then urgently they needed somebody from Noida, because it was Noida's quota. And there was nobody else, so I was sent to Rai House. Instead of Jawaharlal Nehru Stadium, I ended up in Rai House. The whole place was full of Sai students. I was the only non-Sai student. And I still distinctly remember that morning. It was around 9 a.m. And all of us were seated on the lawns. And the black Mercedes, driven by Mr. Vinay Rai, entered the premises. He had gone to the airport to pick up Swami. Swami was sitting in the back seat. The car stopped in the Porsche. And Swami stepped out. and all of us were sitting about maybe 50 feet away. And Swami, instead of entering the bungalow, turned around, looked at all of us, and walked straight towards me. I had never seen Swami within even 20 feet. That was the first time, and Swami straight walked to me. He stood about 5 feet from me and just looked into my eyes. For the first second or two, I didn't know what to do, and I could not even believe that it was me. Because imagine, I had never ever seen Swami that closely. And Swami just walked and stood in front of me and started looking into my eyes. And I was looking into Swami's eyes, and the moment froze. It looked like an eternity. After a few minutes, I think a few seconds, Swami then turned away, smiled, turned away, and, you know, walked into the bungalow. And that few seconds, those few seconds absolutely changed my life. It was truly like love at first sight. And I was like, oh my God, how do I get close to this being? You know, until then, Swami was an important part of my life. He was a divine being, a lot of philanthropy, a lot of charity, beautiful ideas, nice message. And I was just being the good citizen out of office hours. I was, you know, giving my time and energy to the organization. So Swami was an important part of my life. But that day, he became the love of my heart. And 1999, I said, I have to, whatever it takes, somehow end up being close to him. How do I do that? And I did a bit of research, and I found out the best and the easiest way was to basically become a part of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Basically join Swami's university. And the station of my life at that time, it was such that the only real course open for me was the MBA. And that's how it came to pass. And I wrote the exam in 2002. By Swami's grace, I cleared, and I got into the MBA program. And I actually came face to face with Swami. So if I may say so, probably that began my experiences with Swami. Until then, I only had heard about Swami, read about Swami. So it was all experiences about Swami gathered from third party sources. 2002, June, my journey began with Swami. In August or July 2002, I got the opportunity to give my first program in front of Swami. It was a group program. Our entire class, what the freshers batch, all of us gave a joint program. Swami had just returned from Vrindavan. And we just gave a program where all of us just stood up for a minute or two and expressed gratitude to Swami for, you know, having us near him. And when my turn came, I stood up and I said, Swami, I have been praying for this opportunity so many years, 3-4 years. I have been dying to be here. And thank you so much for this opportunity. And then Swami looked at me and said, very, very, very happy that you are here. Very, very, very happy. So that was the first time I actually heard Swami's voice without a microphone. And then 17th February 2003, it was one day before that year's Shivratri. Shivratri that year was 18th February. I was going for morning darshan. Swami had asked me to come for morning darshan. So I was sitting in the morning darshan, 17th February. Swami called me. Another one of those life-changing moments. A moment which I haven't yet understood. Swami called me inside the interview room. There were two other people. There was one Mr. Ajit Popat, and there was a politician, one lady, Mrs. Geeta Reddy. Swami spoke to all three of us. And then Swami said, come inside. Then Swami took me to the personal interview room. There is a small room inside of the interview room, the personal interview room, and Swami took me there. That was the first time I was alone with Swami, just Swami and me, nobody else. And then Swami shut the drapes, the curtain, and hugged me. And I hugged Swami. And obviously I broke down. And surprisingly, Swami also broke down. And then Swami said, I have been waiting for so long for this chance. Yeah, you heard me right. Swami said, I have been waiting for so long for this chance. And I was like, oh, aren't those my lines? But such are the ways of Swami. Mysteries we will not understand. But over the years, I have begun to realize that our connection with Swami, our bond with Him is long, deep, and truly eternal. And over the years, it became clearer and clearer to me as to how Swami has been, is, and forever will be watching over us from within the recesses of our own hearts. So let me rewind a bit and tell you how I actually, how because of my mother's prayers and blessings, I actually landed up in front of Swami. Many, many years back, and I think probably I was 14 years or 15 years old, and I was a very naughty, very mischievous boy. And my parents were always worried where this boy will end up. And Swami, my mom cried before Swami, Swami, you only have to take care of this boy. It's very hard for us to manage him. We don't know where he will end up. Please take care of him. So one day, my mom was sitting on the bed and reading a book. In fact, she was reading a book by Phyllis Crystal. She had fractured her leg, so she was basically bedridden. So she was just sitting on the bed and reading a book. And as she was reading and she looked up, Swami was standing on the door of the bedroom in our house. And she was shocked, obviously. And Swami said, Swami, Swami in sonna poduma, faith irkanam. Is it simply enough to say, Swami, Swami, you must have faith? And Swami said, I will take care of your children. Don't worry. And then Swami said, your son, I'm a systems management. Swami said, he will do systems management. And Swami slowly vanished. And then my mom shouted out for my dad, and my dad came running, and mom said to my dad, this is what happened. Swami appeared, and Swami said, he will take care of our children. And then Swami said, Sanjay will do systems management. What do these words even mean? Remember, this was 1994-1995. Most of you may not even know how the world looked like that at that time. Forget internet, emails, there were barely phones. It's that time, and Swami said he will do systems and management. And my mom asked, what do those words mean? My father said, no, I'm not sure. Systems means something to do with computers. Management means something to do with MBA. And that's where the matter ended. My first job in the Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning was Deputy Manager Systems. And the second job which I currently hold is faculty in the Department of Management. And this Swami said in 1994. In the first interview to our family that Swami gave in July 2004, first time when my parents entered the interview room and my mother entered the interview room for the first time, Swami said, see, I told you that day. Then Swami said, dream la vandhu sonne, nera vandhu sonne, but still you don't believe. Swami said, I came in your dream and I told you. Swami had also come in my mother's dreams and said that I'll take care of your children. Nera vandhu sonne means I directly appeared in front of you and told you, even then you're not believing. Then Swami said, today I am telling you face to face, your children are my children and I will take care of them. Why I'm saying all that is, this is a little bit of a precursor to what happened in 2007. You know, when we are new to the university, sometimes we get carried away. New to Swami and new to His physical presence. And it is so overpowering and so overwhelming that we get driven by this intense desire to experience more and more of Swami's proximity and more of what we think is spiritual progress and more of an inner connection with Swami. And sometimes when we do not have full clarity and full insight, this drive takes kind of contorted directions. So what happened to me in between 2004 and 2007 was, I became very miserable, yet I started putting myself through immense hardships, physical hardships. I reduced eating. I used to read a lot of, you know, spiritual books, lot of scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, you know, the works of Shankaracharya. I don't even remember all those now. All those looks like a past life today. But those days, I used to spend a lot of time in all these kinds of activities, and I used to get up very early in the morning, around 3:30, 4. I used to have bath in the hostel, head bath at 4 a.m., go to the terrace, sit there, and do something which at that time I thought was meditation. Now, I don't know what it was, but I used to do something. And I had gradually lost a lot of weight, and this body had become 69 kilos. It was the lightest I ever was in my adult life. One day, to cut the long story short, of course, a lot happened. Many, many brilliant moments were spent with Swami. But one day in 2007, I mean, I was in the interview room with Swami, and Swami looked at me, and suddenly, out of the blue, he appeared quite shocked. And he said, "What have you done to yourself? What is this? Are you not eating? You have become so thin." Then Swami said, "See, 3 years back I told your mother that I will take care of you. Now if your mother comes and sees you and asks me, 'Swami, is this what you have taken care of my son?' what will I tell?" Then Swami told me in that interview. It was a life-changing interview. Of all the many, many moments I got to spend with Swami, that was truly, really a U-turn interview. I call it a U-turn because my life took a U-turn on that particular day. Then Swami said, "This is not good. Not good." Swami said, "Make a bundle of all your spiritual books. Make a big bundle of all your spiritual books. Collect it and go and throw it in the Chitravati." I didn't really throw it in the Chitravati. There was no water in the Chitravati at that time. But I put away all my books. Then Swami also said in the same interview, "Only from source, not from force. Only from source, not from force." And I came back to hostel and I broke down. You know, strange is the mind. We all think living in Puttaparthi, in the physical proximity of Swami, getting to talk to Swami, getting to spend time with Swami, getting to travel with Swami. By then I had gone to 3 trips to Kodaikanal, and that same year I went to Chennai with Swami. One would wonder, how can anybody have anything to be sad about? You know, but that is the nature of the mind. I thought I was a deeply spiritual person. But inside I was quite miserable. I was all the time with Swami, but there was something that was always weighing on my mind. And there was something that was always, you know, like gravity pulling you down. And so the more you experience, the more you want to break free, and you do all these extreme steps. And that day Swami said, "Only from source, not from force, and throw away all your books." And I came out of the interview room, and over the next few months, maybe next few years, as I contemplated on what does Swami mean by throwing away all your books? What do books stand for? And what is the source that Swami wants me to tap into? Swami said, "No force, only source." What is this source, and what do books stand for, and what is it that Swami wants me to dump? Books represent acquired knowledge. Knowledge which is basically someone else's words. Books basically represent that knowledge, that intellectual knowledge that we read We understand and then we feel, I know. But we don't really know. You know, it is like a beautiful essay on a mango. A beautiful, well-crafted, perfectly written essay on a mango. It is not the same as eating the mango. An illiterate person who cannot read a single word will enjoy the mango while consuming it. But the most erudite person will read the most beautiful essay on mango and would not know anything as to how a mango feels like or tastes like. So, books are just that. It's all right when we use books for inspiration, but when we use books to understand life, to understand Swami, and to understand ourselves, and to understand the nature of existence, it is just acquired knowledge. We get that feeling that I know. And by books, it's everything. And suddenly, after that interview, I started feeling a tremendous emptiness in my life. An emptiness that was indescribable because everything I thought I knew, everything I thought I understood, suddenly exploded into nothingness. There was simply nothing. And I knew nothing. I understood nothing and I had nothing. And let me take the liberty of saying, even when Swami would give his discourses and I would read those discourses, listen to those discourses, I would think, yeah, these are discourses, beautiful, but where is the experience of that discourse? It is still a description of something. Even it is coming from Swami's lips, even then, it is still acquired knowledge. It is not source. What is mine? What is my source? Or how Swami would say, educare, not education. As Swami would say, education is that which is acquired. Educare is that which comes from within. So I began asking myself, what is this educare? Everything that I have got till now, everything that I know, everything I think I know is just simply what I have acquired. What is my own? What is it that comes from within me before and transcending everything that I have acquired? What is truly mine and what is coming from within? This question haunted me for 2 or 3 years. And in the grace of Swami, in the presence and in the presence of His grace, many things became clear. Also, Swami was very kind in 2 or 3 more interviews. Specific pointers and specific directions Swami gave me as to how I can proceed in my search. In one such interview, I asked something, early 2009 actually. I think January or February 2009. And I asked Swami this question, something I asked Swami, I don't remember, it's immaterial now, something I asked Swami. And Swami said, he just basically ignored my question. And he said, see, every answer that your mind finds to a question will lead to 1,000 more questions. Every answer that your mind finds to a question will lead to 1,000 more questions. And Swami said, ignore all those questions and fill your mind with just one question. Everything you empty, give up all questions, fill your mind with just one question. Who am I? So that was the first pointer. In 2006, Swami had gone to Kodaikanal. The second time I had the opportunity of accompanying Swami. In one of those evening sessions after the bhajan, Swami posed a question to all the devotees and students present there. There are about 30 or 40 of us totally. And Swami said, who am I? Swami, pointing to himself, said, who am I? And a lot of answers were flowing thick and fast. Somebody said, Swami, you are an avatar. Swami said, Kadu, kadu. And somebody said, Swami, you are love, you are prema, satya, dharma, you know, all kinds of answers. Swami said, no, no, no. And distinctly remember one answer. Somebody said, Swami, you are paripurna avatara. You are the complete embodiment of the divine. Swami said, adi kade kadu. That I am definitely not. And then finally we all gave up. We knew we were not going anywhere and we all became quiet. And then Swami said, nenu nene. I am I. That's all. In the same evening, Swami also went on to describe the journey of Buddha or Gautama. Before he became the Buddha, and in the same evening, Swami said how he tried all kinds of tapas, all kinds of penance and all kinds of disciplines, trying to reach the ultimate, and he could not do anything, nothing. And his struggles became more and more intense. And finally, he sat under the Bodhi tree one day and said, I will not get up until I find my answer. Whatever happens, even if this body falls to pieces, I will not get up until I find the answer. And then he asked himself this question, who am I? And the answer came to him, I am I, Nenu Nene. And he stayed with that answer and then he realized himself. Of course, I am paraphrasing Swami a little bit. It's been a long time. I don't exactly remember, but the context, the overall idea of what Swami was saying was just this. So these were some of the pointers that, guided me on my inner journey. On another occasion, I remember around March 2009, Swami came, finished darshan, and Swami came back to the interview room. I was there, another devotee was there. Actually, I was there and Mr. Isaac Tigret, we both were there in the interview room. And Swami looked at me and Swami looked very forlorn and very sad. And he said, as I am coming for darshan and as I am moving in the Kulwant Hall, all these people's heads are also turning. You know, I am going like this and they are also going like this. Swami showed it through gestures. And then said, after so many years, they are still thinking that there is something here, pointing to himself. Swami said, there is something here that is not there. So Swami said, there is something here that is not there. So they are still thinking, you know, that there is some divinity here which is not already present in them. And Swami said, he just waved his hand. And it was a shocking moment for me. It was one of the last interviews I had. In fact, the last time Swami spoke to me physically was April 2009. The last words physically that I heard from Swami's ears was he held my hand and said, why are you afraid? I'm here. You know, I was going through a little bit of a turbulent phase after my PhD, and Swami just held my hand and said, why are you afraid? I am here. So that were the last physical words that I heard from Swami's lips into my ears. So these are some of the moments that helped me realize the import of that statement Swami made in 2007, from source, not from force. So this was about experiences about Swami before I came to Parthi, then those beautiful moments, about seven and a half years, experiences with Swami. Post-2009, I really did not have many opportunities to be physically close to Swami, and that phase from then on started what I might call experiences of Swami. Many times, some of my friends ask me, do you miss Swami? And, you know, often we say, we use this phraseology, especially it's very common in Puttaparthi, good old days. And by that we mean those days when Swami was still physically walking in our midst and these eyes had the beautiful joy of beholding his form. And I get confused at the risk of sounding immodest, I have to say, I really don't miss Swami at all. And I don't even think any day is a good old day. The best day is today. The best moment is really today. And I am not saying this as an intellectual or conceptual quote, but I really do feel this in my heart, that the most beautiful day is today, because today is the day in my life where I feel most connected to Swami. And that is all that matters. Tomorrow, I will feel more connected to Swami than I feel today, and tomorrow will be the best day of my life with Swami. And the training that Swami has given all of us, and this phase of our life where our experience is not about Swami, it is not with Swami, but it is of Swami. And the maturity of this experience of Swami culminating in an ever-present connection with Swami, that is the most profound relationship we can have with Swami. Otherwise, the moments we have spent with Swami, what is it? And I am in no way belittling it. It was one of the most beautiful moments of my life. But having said that, it is only memory. After all, it is only memory. What is real and what is the only thing that really matters and which determines the quality of our intimacy with Bhagwan is what I feel about Swami right now, the depth and the subtlety of my connection with Swami right now, the intimacy and the love that I feel with Swami's divine presence today and now. Isn't that the only thing that finally determines the beauty of our relationship with Swami? So this phase of my life since 2009, one might say, would be experience of Swami. So as I was telling you, in 2007, when Swami said, put away all your books, it was almost like a part of my life went away with those books, and everything I thought I knew about Swami, everything I thought I knew about life, it all started looking absolutely empty, hollow, and meaningless. And suddenly there was this vacuum and void which simply made no sense, and it was absolutely scary. And in that state, I started looking within myself. And as Swami had told me, fill your mind with just one question, who am I? And I started looking into myself and started asking this question, chalo, theek hai, everything I knew is gone. Now, what is it that I know? What is it that I actually know? Nothing I know. I don't even know, if someone had to ask me, who are you? And I would say, I am Sanjay. But what is Sanjay? It is just two syllables. It is just a sound that I have been trained to respond to. If somewhere I hear the word Sanjay, I just look. It's just a sound of two syllables that I have been trained to respond to, and I have been told to respond to, so I respond to it. That is all it is. It is just a sound. So similarly, carrying on this inquiry, one begins to come to this conclusion that the only thing we truly know about ourselves, or the only experience of ourselves which is true, is that I am. Nothing else is true at all. Everything else is shaky. In this moment, everything simply appears and disappears. The only thing that is true about myself that I know is I am. In 2004, some ex-students from Delhi had come to see Swami. And Swami was kind enough to grant them an interview. And I also happened to be in the room at that time. And Swami asked these, at that time Swami called them Delhi boys. There were about 4 or 5 ex-students from Delhi. And Swami asked, Swami was chatting with them. And one of the students, I still remember his name also, he asked Swami, Swami, when we are in Parthi, when we are here, so intensely we feel your presence, so deeply, you know, we feel this connection with you. But then when we go back to Delhi and then carry on with our normal lives, our jobs, our families, we are not able to feel your presence. And what do we do? And Swami said, in Delhi, are you able to feel your own presence? And I don't remember what was the answer, but then Swami said, your presence is not different from my presence. It was way back in 2004. I just remember these words, but it made no sense to me at that time. What is this? Your presence is my presence. It is the same. But over the years, I have realized what a profound statement Swami made, that your presence is not different from my presence. In another interview, and here I am paraphrasing Swami a little bit, Swami asked me something to the effect of saying, I had written a letter to Swami. Swami had not been talking to me for 2 months. So I wrote a very harsh letter. You know, the liberties you can take when Swami is talking to you. And I actually wrote in a letter, I said, Swami, you don't love me at all. You said you love me, all that lies. And I had written in the letter, Swami, you are a liar. And I didn't, because Swami was not talking to me, I was sure he will not take that letter. But that day he actually took that letter. And Swami came out of the interview room and he called me and he took that letter. And I was shivering. I said, oh my God, what have I written in that letter? And not only that, Swami opened the letter and started reading it aloud. And then Swami started reading. Then Swami said, I had written, Swami, you don't love me. And Swami said, Swami always loves you. And then Swami said, Swami's love is not like your love. Today on, tomorrow off. Today love, tomorrow no love. Swami's love is always same. And then Swami took me to the interview room. After 2 months, Swami was speaking to me. And in that interview, Swami said something to the effect of, he asked me, see, do you love Swami or do you love your idea of Swami? And that is why our love for Swami is not how Swami's love is for us. So all these pointers over the years, and finally it came to this moment in around 2009-2010, where as I was saying, it became clear to me what Swami meant when Swami said, your presence is my presence. And Swami used to always say that, you are mine and I am yours. In fact, in my first personal interview with Swami, I said, Swami, what should I do? Swami said, nothing. Be happy. You and me are one. Remember that? That's all. That's all. You and me are one. So coming back to some pointers and some practices that Swami guided me to, some of them verbally and some of them from within. All that we know about Swami, or we think that we know about Swami, is everything and every bit of it is acquired through what we might call the five sense perceptions. You know, our scriptures say that God is beyond sense perceptions. What does it actually mean? You know, always we hear God is beyond senses. Look within, look beyond senses. You know, we keep hearing these phrases. Everything, if you look at our life, everything that we know, everything that we know, everything that we experience in this moment is also acquired and gathered through the five sense perceptions. In this moment, every memory, how does memory get created? Memory gets created from a sense perception that happened in the past. Right now, how we experience world, how we experience entire existence, the universe, only through our five sense perceptions. We see things, we hear, we taste, we touch, we smell, and then we analyze it. The analysis also happens based on our conditioning, which again is a result of the five sense perceptions. All memory, all anticipation, all thought, all cogitation, all emotion, all knowledge, concepts, definitions, labels, stories, everything that we base our life on has been gathered, acquired, analyzed, and categorized, and you know, this entire edifice of what we think we know is standing on these five perceptions and what we have gathered through these five sense perceptions. As a thought experiment, as a reflection or a meditation, let us try this for a minute. Suppose we were born without any of the sense perceptions. We know there are animals, there are birds, there are reptiles, which do not have some of these senses, you know. We humans have five, some animals do not have five, some have other different kinds of senses. So let us assume, as a thought experiment, as a meditation or a reflection, suppose a human being is born without any of these five sense perceptions. See, at the age of 10 years without seeing anything, hearing anything, without tasting, smelling or touching anything, what would be that person's experience of himself? What would be that person's experience of the world? And above all, what would be that person's experience of himself or herself? If we actually look and investigate with attention, it will become very clear to us that the only experience that person will have of himself or herself actually will be unconditioned awareness. In other words, the only thing that the person will know is that person is. If I had no sense perception, say from birth, all I would know today, all I am capable of knowing today is that I am. So you see, other than this sense of beingness, other than this what one might call the primordial thought of I am-ness or I am, everything else is gathered through the five sense perceptions. Nothing wrong with that. That is the nature of life. That is the flow of life. That is the energy of life. But if we want to go within, and often I get asked this question, what is it to go within? And I pondered over this question for so many years. What is the meaning of going within? Within where? What is this within? And what is without and what is within? And within of what? Going within is simply ceasing to rely only on what we have gathered through the sense perceptions and looking at that which is self-evident without the aid of sense perceptions, that within us which is self-evident, which is simply that I am. And paying attention to that I am-ness with one-pointed, loving, gentle focus, something miraculous begins to happen. Something stupendous begins to happen. Magic begins to happen, and we begin to realize what Swami said in 2004 to those boys from Delhi: your presence and my presence is the same. We begin to realize directly, as a matter of something that is absolutely clear and evident. And Swami said, you and me are not two, but one. And we also begin to realize why in 2009 in the interview, Swami sadly gestured that all people think that there is something here that is not within you. So briefly, this has been my journey of my experiences about Swami, with Swami, and my experience of Swami. I once again thank everybody for this patient listening and for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you, and Om Shri Sai Ram.